Scott with SJ, wildfire.com. Hey, I'm pleased to announce Pastor Larry. We've talked a little bit about Pastor Larry and his Bible study. He's been studying Ephesians 6 for the last 3 to 4 years.
Glad to have you listening today. Before I get on our subject of spiritual warfare, this actually has to do with spiritual warfare. I want to speak to an issue. I know it's a very touchy issue, but I believe it's very, very urgent that we speak to this issue, because last week or a few weeks ago, I spoke on the fact of a 7-year period that was to come. It was a period called the Day of the Lord. It had to do with the wrath of God, and I listed some of the points and how God's going to manifest his wrath upon this earth. How it's intense and it's awful. And the purpose is twofold, really, to bring Israel to her Messiah. And the second, and not necessarily in that order, is to judge the world because of its sin and its rebellion against God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a few days ago, there was a vote to keep abortion alive in 3 states. The way I understand it, Kentucky, Ohio, and I believe it was Virginia. And they all passed to keep abortion alive. I am very concerned about this. I'm very concerned because there's been over 60 million babies aborted since Roe v. Wade. And I look back into Israel's history and how God loved them. He chose them from all the nations of the world to bear his name and to bear witness for him. And he put his blessings on them, and time he revealed himself to Israel to let them know how he cared for them. But as we all know in the history of Israel, that they would end up in idolatry, they would end up rejecting him, and God had to punish them as he would his own children. He had to punish them for his disobedience, and sometimes it was a very harsh punishment. I want you to listen to a couple verses. And why did God punish Israel so severely? We know that the northern tribes were taken captive first, the northern 10 tribes of Israel, by the nation of Assyria. And then later on, just a few years later, the land of Judah, the tribe of Judah, was taken captive by the Babylonians. But especially in Assyria, the captivity in Assyria, God lists some reasons why he brought this judgment upon Israel. I'm just going to read a couple passages. The Old Testament prophets, such as Isaiah, Ezekiel, and all the minor prophets, minor in the fact that their books were shorter, they all list the reasons why God would punish Israel, especially Isaiah and Ezekiel. Why would God punish his chosen people? I mean, God says, you're the apple of my eye. You're the people of my choosing. I've set my affection on you, not because you're the greatest of the nations, only because I loved you. And I chose you for this. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 57, verse 5, it says, you, as Israel he's speaking to, burn with lust among the oaks and under every spreading tree. Now listen to this. You sacrifice your children in the ravines and under the overhanging crags. Ezekiel 16:21. And you took your sons and daughters, whom you bore to me, and sacrificed them as food to the idols. Was your prostitution not enough? You slaughtered my children and sacrificed them to the idols. And this is what God, listen to what God says 9 verses later. I am filled with fury against you, declares the sovereign Lord. In verse 38, the same passage in Ezekiel, I will bring upon you the blood vengeance of my wrath and my anger. So the turning away of Israel from God incited his anger against them. And out of that list of her sins, the one that stands out the most is idolatry. And how this idolatry spawned one conspicuous sin that was the way Israel treated her children. As I read, they sacrifice them, and you read this too, they sacrifice them to their idols. What's going on in our country? And I have to say, it makes me angry because I feel helpless. It makes me angry that we are sacrificing, as a nation, we are sacrificing our children. Yes, our unborn children. The Bible makes it very clear, as we're going to see, that the unborn are children. It's funny that when one is born, they become a child, but not 5 minutes before they're born, they're not children. That doesn't make any sense to me. And I look at this nation. The main reason why we sacrifice our children is because we have turned away from God. And we have turned to idols. And I believe that idol is ourself. We have made ourselves the judge and the jury about human life. The scriptures make it very clear, as we're going to see, that only God has that right. God, the author of life, not you or not I, God has that right. And we seem to make judgments which please ourselves. In short, like I said, we have become an idol. We fall for that old line of Satan in the garden that when he's told Eve, well, you can become gods knowing good and evil. You can become a god. It's exactly where we've come to in this country. We have become a god, small g, in our own eyes. As a result, we take our children, which is the unborn, and we sacrifice them to our own judgment, and we call it my body, my choice, my life. Listen, that's not true. We are in a truth war, my friends. Believers, listen. We are in a truth war. That is not the truth. It is not the truth that your body and your life belong to you. They belong to God. And only God has that right. And when you say, my Lord, or my body, my choice, and my life, you're saying like, there's no God, no creator, and we have become a God in our own eyes. God says no. God owns you, whether you're a believer or not a believer. He owns you. He is the one who is the life giver. And God's righteous fury and anger are kindled, my friend. And I'm afraid for this country. I believe that one of the biggest genocides is going on. The biggest problem we have is idol worship of ourselves. Remember, the Bible says that in the last days, men will be lovers of themselves. When it talks about men, that's a generic term, and women are involved in that statement. We become a god in our own eyes. And God's fury and his anger is kindled. America has been judged. And we don't turn from this. And to be honest with you, I do not foresee it. I hope it's true, but I do not foresee it. And this is one of the major issues as I look at the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. They were judged because of this. Let us wake up, believers. We must pray, but not only pray, that we put feet on our prayers. We must do something. Remember, I'm talking about we're in a spiritual warfare, and that's exactly what it is. We're not to take the law in our own hands, but we're to pray continually, as Paul talks about in Ephesians 6, in the armor of God. And then we're to bring the gospel and forgiveness to these young ladies who are visiting the abortion clinics and let them know the truth of the Word of God, the truth of Christ, that Christ wants to set them free and bring them into peace and give them this knowledge that He loves them, He cares for them, He cares for the unborn, He cares for that child that's in their womb. And we as believers must step up, take responsibility also for these children as far as supporting adoption agencies. And so there's some other choice besides killing our children. And woe unto the doctors who practice these things for profit, for money. That was another charge that God had against His children of Israel, because they were doing these things for profit and for money. You know that Jesus says, it says, do not hinder the children to come unto me. It is better for that person to have a millstone tied around his neck and thrown into the depths of the sea, and if they would offend one of these little ones of coming to Christ. That's a testimony of judgment by the Lord Jesus. The scriptures say that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan's the one who leads the way of abortion. Why? Because every child was created in the image of God, and they'll become image bearers. And Satan doesn't like that. Since man's a creation of God, Satan wants to kill man, get as many in hell with him as possible, so he can be worshipped. So, what does the Bible say about abortion? This will be a little longer sermon than we are normally accustomed to, but bear with me, please. You know, the Bible doesn't significantly mention the word abortion, but the concept is there. And the Bible says that the unborn are persons. Therefore, abortion is wrong. It is killing of a human being. So here's the logical formula we can use. Premise number one is wrong to murder a person. We would all agree with that. Number two, the unborn is a person. That's made by Scripture. Statements made over and again by Scripture. But also, science has made that statement. Science has come out and made the statement that life begins at conception. You know that after 22 or 23 days that you can detect a heartbeat in that child. I didn't say a fetus, but you can detect a heartbeat within that child. It is wrong to murder a person. The unborn is a person. Therefore, it is wrong to murder the unborn. Of course, people object to that and saying that it's a fetus and not really a person, but pray tell, what is it? Is it a insect? Is it a dog? Is it a cat? No, it's a baby. It's a person. If you want some Bible passages on this, you can jot these down. I will not go to them. Genesis 9:6, if you have a pencil with you. Matthew 15:19 and 19:18, Luke 18:20, John 8:44, Acts 3:14, Romans 1:28 and 29, and Romans 13:9. Now that is a proof text where it's wrong to murder. Like I say, we consciously understand that. But those are some biblical passages. The premise of is number two is the unborn is a person. And it says it's a person for following reasons. Because it possesses, the unborn person possesses personal attributes such as sin and joy. Because David says in Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Luke 1:44, "Behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, a baby leaped in my womb for joy." The evidence of personal attributes. And the unborn are described by personal pronouns, such as in Jeremiah 1:5. It says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I've appointed you a prophet to the nations." Personal pronouns being used. Matthew 1:20-21 states, "But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" Third, regarding the conception of Jesus, Matthew 1:20 says, "But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child,'" notice it calls the unborn Jesus a child, "'who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" The fact that the angel tells Joseph that the child who has been conceived is of the Holy Spirit indicates that Jesus certainly was a person at the moment of his conception. And the unborn are called children. Luke 1:41 states, "When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." And the preborn children are protected by the same punishment as adults. Listen. One of the strongest arguments against abortion from the scripture is the fact that that same punishment applies to someone who kills or injures an unborn child as to the one who kills or injures an adult. And that's found in Exodus 21:22-23. "If men struggle with each other and strike a woman with child, though that she gives birth prematurely, yet there is no injury, he surely shall be fined as a woman husband may demand of him, and he shall pay the judges who decide. But if there is any further injury, then you shall appoint as a penalty life for life." Which indicates that the Mosaic law viewed the unborn as persons worthy of the same protection and rights as adults. The unborn called by God before birth. The unborn are called by God, almost echoing the prophetic commission of Jeremiah, where he says, and also Isaiah 49, verse 1, says, "Listen to me, O islands, and pay attention, you people from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named me." The unborn are known personally and intimately by God in the same way he would know any other person. Describing David in Psalm 139, verses 15 and 16, he says, My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. And in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. In describing the prophet Jeremiah, it says in Jeremiah 1:5, God says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you to be a prophet to all the nations." And here's the conclusion. The Bible teaches that the unborn are persons because the unborn possess personal attributes described by personal pronouns. Jesus is called a child at conception. The unborn are called children. They are protected by the same punishment as adults. They are called by God before birth and are known personally by God, just like any other person. Since abortion is murdering a person, abortion is morally wrong. And I got that information from CARM, CARM.org. If you want to go there, you can find it under secular issues, abortion. You can log on to that. Now, listen to what I'm going to say. There's some of my listeners may have gone through an abortion. There is forgiveness. Jesus Christ can forgive you and make you whole again. All you need to do is come to Him, confess your sins. Confess that sin and confess your sins, because there's multiple. And cast yourself at the mercy of Jesus Christ, because He wants you. He's died for you. He wants to take those sin or that sin and nail it to the cross and give you peace. Peace with God and peace with yourself. And oh, let's all continue. Let's pray for this country. This is an indication that we are in idol worship and we're on the verge of being judged by Almighty God as a nation. The book of Revelation says that Satan will, when he's cast into the lake of fire, he will deceive the nations no more. And this is part of our spiritual warfare, my friends. If you're a believer and you've had an abortion, God still forgives. He still shows mercy, and He still shows His love. And He does that even during time of judgment in the book of Revelation. But we must come. We must ask Him. God bless you. Pray for this nation. Pray that God will use us to do something about this issue. I know our sins are many, but this is a pressing issue. Show love and show mercy for Jesus' sake. See you next week. God bless.